My dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, as I said, today's lesson, or today's message, is based upon the gospel lesson, but because it's so long, I don't think you want me to read it again. But there's also one other passage that I would like you to listen to, and that's actually in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, and these are verses 24 and 25. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, for as forgetful as I am, sometimes it amazes me how I can remember things 30-some years ago. And I have to say that, you know, it was 30-some years ago, and maybe I was in the ministry already by that time, maybe for a mere 5 years, that an incident took place between an elderly woman in the parish which I was serving at that time. You see, she could no longer attend church because she could no longer walk up the gazillion steps to get into the church. And so I would visit her, and also others like her that couldn't get to church, every month or so, to give communion. Well, I do remember that one day I called her up and I asked her if I could come over to give her communion sometime that week or next week, whatever was convenient to her. And, you know, there was this moment of silence, and then all of a sudden she said to me, "You know what, Pastor, you don't need to come over. I haven't sinned this past month." That threw me for a loop. I was literally speechless, and you know me, speechless. You gotta be kidding me. And you know what? What was really kind of interesting, if you could say that, about this entire thing was that this particular elderly woman and her sister, which was basically in the same boat as she was, just a year younger, those two had not spoken to one another in over 25 years. And I remember when I tried to confront both of them with this, both of them said, quote unquote, "Well, I'm not angry at my sister. I just don't want to talk to them." As it actually turned out, the whole reason for this was that when their brother had died some 20-some years ago, supposedly $25 was missing from his wallet, and I guess each of the sisters was blaming the other sister for stealing that money. Well, finally, when I was just about ready to say something, she cut me off and she said, "But now, Pastor, you make sure that you go and visit that sister of mine. She really needs communion. You know, she's not the best of people." Huh? And then the next thing I know, in a very polite way, she says, "Well, goodbye, Pastor. I'll talk to you later." She hung up. And there I am with the phone still like this. And I'm thinking to myself, doesn't she know God's law? Doesn't she know that it is wrong, that it is sinful to be angry? Doesn't she know that it is wrong, that it is sinful against God not to forgive? And doesn't she know that she has been self-righteous and that is a sin against God? Mind blowing. I have to tell you that today's gospel lesson really speaks to this elderly woman. And actually, I'm going to tell you, it speaks to you and I as well. And if we listen, and if she would listen, what we're going to hear isn't very pleasant. As a matter of fact, if we listen, if she would really listen, we're going to be afraid. Afraid of God. We could be thrown into despair. Because you see, this portion of the gospel, once again, is a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And now, He is beginning in this sermon to get to the core of what that sermon was all about. He is preaching law. 100% law. He's explaining the law to the people and to us. And you know, his explanations are not, you know, just, you know, I don't know what you want to say, just, you know, simple ones, you know. No. He takes and he probes the very inner intent of every one of God's commandments. And let me tell you, it's there. I don't like it. Jesus begins in this gospel lesson by saying, you know, you have heard it said from people long ago, you shall not murder. I can't help it. Every time I hear that commandment, immediately I remember a certain counseling, premarital counseling session that I had with a couple, you know, some time ago. And I was trying to explain that really Jesus needs to be the foundation in the marriage because you see, it's his saving love that helps us and moves us and motivates us to try to keep the union together during those tough times. And it's that same love that keeps that union growing and becoming stronger. Well, the soon-to-be groom looked at me and said, well, I don't need Jesus for that. I never murdered anybody. Well, I thought I would be cute. I looked at them and said, well, I murdered. Well, let me tell you, their eyes just got really big. They looked at me, surprise, horror, terror. I think that they wanted to bolt right out of my office because they thought I had literally pulled the trigger and killed somebody in cold blood. I quickly reassured them, look, I never killed anybody in cold blood, never shot anybody with a gun, never killed anybody to death with a knife, never strangled anybody, anything like that. Okay? You're safe. Okay. But then I asked him, has anyone ever hurt you so badly that you wish that God would literally wipe them off the face of the earth? And the two of them looked at me and, yeah. And I said, has anyone ever got you so angry that what you really, really wanted to do was strangle that person to death, and you knew that by killing that individual, you would be helping the earth because the earth would be a much better place without that person? And they looked at me, yeah, and I looked at them and I said, I have. Too many times. Friends, according to what Jesus says here, that's sin. What about the fact that maybe we're unwilling to forgive? That is sin. What about the fact that maybe the anger that we have toward people, we let it turn into bitterness? That's committing murder, because bitterness eats us alive. And what about when someone offends us? You know, Jesus says that we should go and to that person immediately and reconcile, because relationship is so vital to Jesus. We Americans really aren't too good at that, because, and I'm just as guilty, what do we like to do? We will tell everybody else in the world what that person has done to us and how bad they are, but we'll never confront that person. That is murder. That is sin. Or how about when we offend someone else? Did you notice that Jesus says, go right away. Go. Reconcile. And if we don't, that's sin. And I'm going to tell you something. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount is exactly the same way. You have heard it said. do not commit adultery. In other words, remain faithful to your spouse. Of course, then he goes on, don't lust. Don't let that mind wander. You do, that's sin. Pornography, that's sin. Just thinking about it is sin. You know, even just making every once in a while those crude remarks, sexual remarks to someone of the opposite sex is sin. What I think is very interesting is that Jesus says something about all of this. You see, I think that we Christians have this tendency to make sin and we divide it. We say that there's those big sins, like really committing murder or really committing adultery, and then there are those other sins. Yeah, they're wrong, but they're not all that bad. But Jesus says this. You know, if you call your brother Raca, you know, you're liable to the judgment of the Sanhedrin. Now, Raca actually means empty-headed or stupid. I don't think there's anything wrong with that myself. But in Jewish culture at that time, that was the most vulgar word that you could use on an individual. Did you know that it was literally against the law? Because it degraded, it just tore the person apart. Okay? And if you were caught, you did have to go before the Sanhedrin. And there, if it was proven, you were punished. And the punishment was light. Well, not light, but very heavy. And then he goes on and he says, but if you call someone a fool, you're liable to the judgment of hell. Now, I got to tell you that the Jewish culture back then is like ours today. I mean, how many times have we called someone else a fool? Parents call their kids a fool. Children call their parents a fool. Bosses call us fools. Spouses call us fools. On and on and on it goes. And really, for the most part, do we really think anything about it? You know, maybe when we're called a fool, we might, you know, feel a little bit bad. But we don't really think anything of it. No big deal, right? Same thing. That's the way the Jews felt. No big deal. What does Jesus say? You call someone a fool, you're liable to the judgment of hell. He doesn't say that about the most vulgar thing that someone could be called, but a fool. What's going on here? You know what he's saying? Is that in his eyes, sin is sin. You kill somebody, you're going to hell. But you know what? Even if you do a little sin, such as calling someone a fool, guess what? You are going to hell. Today, I honestly believe that there are a lot of Christians that love the law of God. Now, you know, I don't preach a lot of law. Sometimes I don't have it in my sermons at all. Every once in a while, like today. But you know, every once in a while when I've done that, the sermon was heavy on the law. You'd be surprised at the remarks I got. Pastor, it was about time you said something. This congregation absolutely needed to hear it. I told you that a long time ago. Or you know what? I'm glad you said that because you know, my relative over there, boy, did he or she really need to hear that. I hope it straightens them out. Or, yeah, you know that little click over there. Yeah, I hope they heard it. We're like the lady in the story. Okay? We take, and instead of applying the law to ourselves, we apply it to everybody else. We point and we judge. You see, the problem is, though, is that every time, as I said before, when you're pointing one finger out, how many are pointing back? Three. The law that God preaches, the law that Jesus is talking about here, he doesn't want you to apply it to Joe Blow sitting next to you. He wants you to apply it to yourself. He wants me to apply it to myself. myself. Forget the other people. And when I do that, and if you really do that, there's only one conclusion we can come up with, folks. We're going to stand before the Father, and he's just going to say, guilty as charged, guilty as charged, guilty as charged, guilty as charged, guilty as charged. He'll go on forever because that's how many sins there are. And then finally, he's going to say, and I sentence you to eternal death. I sentence you to hell. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Pretty depressing, isn't it? You know, we might want to know why in the world Jesus was preaching so heavy in law. Well, back then, he was preaching to a culture, to a people, who believed honestly that they were God's people because of they were descendants of Abraham. And because, you know what? They lived pretty good lives. They never really murdered anybody. They had always been faithful to their spouse. But Jesus was trying to show them, you know what? You can't even begin to have a relationship with the Father because you are so sinful that none of your good works, not a one of them, could even begin to wipe out any sin that you have committed. As Isaiah said, our sin, our good works really, are nothing more in the eyes of God but dirty rags. But then he goes on, and this is the part we don't get. I think it's interesting because Paul really knew the law. Oh, he knew the insides and the outs of that law, and he struggled with it. And you know, in Romans there, he cries out, oh, what a wretched man I am. You know, that's all I can say. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to deliver me? And then he goes on, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus preaches what he preaches so that you and I may understand that we need a Savior. And he also preaches what he preaches, because he's standing there and ultimately declaring that he is that Savior. He comes for a purpose. That purpose is to take each and every one of the charges of sin that are brought against us and pay for them in our place. You see, when he went to that cross, every charge of guilty, the punishment you and I were going to have to suffer because we were guilty, he suffered it in our place. His suffering, his crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? His death, it paid in full every charge of sin against us. And so now, believe it or not, we miserable sinners, through Christ, as we stand before the Father, looks at us and he says, not guilty. You come here today rather unenthused about Christ. You come here today not really motivated to follow Christ, doing works of love for other people. You come here today and you feel, you know, I'm really a good person, but really deep down inside, you know that there's something missing. Do you come here today with a great deal of guilt? You come here today missing peace and hope? May God grant that we go back to this message, because it's that message. It's that message. It's what the Bible is about. It's what Jesus is about. And it's that peace message that will give us that peace that we so desperately need. It will give us that hope that we so desperately need. It will give us an enthusiasm for Christ that we so desperately need. And we will be moved to go out into this world, to love our neighbor, and to serve our neighbor, and be witnesses. May God grant that we really take to heart what our Lord has said today. Amen.